Welcome to the January 7th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today we celebrate the baptism of three new members. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raven Smith and is entitled, So What is Manna? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to worship at College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm Associate Pastor of Students and Families here at College Park, and we are so pleased that you've decided to join us for worship this morning. I have several announcements before we get started. First of all, there is a lost and found, a beautiful ring that was found in the ladies' restroom. It's heart-shaped, purple stone. Be a great Valentine's gift for Jennifer if it's nobody else wants. So if you lost your ring, it'll be in my pocket, and if we can exchange something for that later. So we do want to say welcome to all of our members and guests this morning. We want to get a record of everybody who's participating in worship this morning. We have pew pads on every pew. We invite you to, members and guests alike, to take that and to open that up and fill that out. Just sign your name, members, and check the appropriate boxes, and guests, if you just fill all that information out. And then let everybody on your pew sign that, send it to the end of the rows, and then when it gets to the end, send it back to where it started so our ushers can pick those up at the end of the service. Some announcements about things today. Regular Sunday afternoon activities will begin again today from the new year. We have a youth choir, which starts at 4:30, as well as discipleship for youth and adults starting at 6. There's a special discipleship class for adults starting tonight. You may or may not know, our church is participating in the 90 Days of Focus. We are spending 90 days as a church reading from Genesis to Revelation, and there is a plan for you to read every day up until Palm Sunday. And to help us facilitate that thought and those discussions, we're going to have every Sunday evening at 6 o'clock during these next 90 days, at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we'll be having a time that Jason Coggle will be leading for us for the 90 days of focus. So come, bring your Bibles, come to the sanctuary and meet with Jason as you talk about what you've been reading and maybe look forward to what you might be reading in the future. There will be a special meeting today of our youth parents. We are meeting today at 4:30. We've been doing a series called Parenting Teenagers for Positive Results. That will happen today at 4:30, from 4:30 until 6. We usually meet in adult four. Today we're going to meet in the college Sunday school classroom. You'll see the signs on the doors as you come in if you don't know where that is. But today at 4:30 in the college Sunday school class, all youth parents are invited to come to be a part of that meeting. Juniors and seniors in high school are headed to their junior-senior leadership retreat this coming weekend in Gatlinburg. Parents, this may be the first time you've heard about it. We've sent out mailings and we've sent out handouts, but sometimes information just doesn't get back to you, so we are leaving next Saturday. If you want your junior or senior to be a part of that, let me know as soon as you can. Cindy Johnson, we want to make a special announcement for her. She is doing a small local tour here in the Winston-Salem area and between here and Ashboro over the next couple weeks. And one of those concert spots will be here at College Park next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Cindy and band and others will be here to be a part of a great concert series. So come and and support her in that ministry next Sunday night. She is the leader of our worship, our life contemporary service, which happens every Sunday evening. It's an informal time of worship, and it's a great opportunity to come and just to relax and to worship God together. Let me see. Lots of announcements. And we are having, our children are having the primary basketball league. This is for children ages 4 through 3rd grade. There's been some confusion about that. Ages 4 through 3rd grade meet every Thursday night from 6:30 until 7:30 in Smith Hall. We play red light, green light, teaching them how to play basketball. We do use all kinds of games and things to teach them the basic skills of basketball, and we want you to come and bring your kids to be a part of that. I think that is all. It is the best time of the week for us is to be together in worship. And we are especially glad when guests come and they are a part of worship this morning. You've already given us your information. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We want to give you some information about us. On the few minutes ago, you gave us your contact information. You checked all the appropriate boxes on the pew pad. We'd like for you to raise your hand this morning if you're a guest. Our ushers would like to come down the aisle now and give you a packet. This packet tells you about who College Park is, what we believe in, and the inside is also a newsletter that's current and up to date about things going on in the life of our church. So we appreciate you being in worship this morning, and we pray that this hour is a blessing to you. We begin our time of worship with a responsive reading. You will see this invitation to share in worship printed in your bulletin. This morning comes from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7, and it's a responsive reading that I invite you to stand now for. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods.
And in his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is
You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, on this first Sunday of 2007, we stop to say thank you. We stop to say thank you for how you have brought us to this place. You have given us another year. What a blessing it is to be alive. And even on the days that seem dark and seem cold, when few answers come to questions, and it challenges us, there are many days that we don't feel like being thankful. But Father, we are reminded on days like this, as we come to celebrate baptism and communion, that Father, you are still alive and well, and you are working, and you are loving your people. So Father, help us to remember why we are worshiping this day, why we have come into this place, and that's to bring glory to your name. So may this time of worship be yours and yours alone, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
As we begin 90 days of focus, I can't think of anything more appropriate to begin this celebration of God revealed to us through His Son Jesus Christ as well as through His written word. Nothing more appropriate than to celebrate baptism. These who have come and professed Christ publicly and have sought to be baptized to follow the example of our Lord. And the first candidate is Cameron Goodman. Cameron, if you would join me, please. I would like to ask all of those who have been a part of Cameron's Christian education from the time that she was a baby here in this church all the way to now, through Sunday school, discipleship, music groups, mission groups, if you've been a part of her Christian education as well as her family members, if you would please join me in standing. And then her father is going to come and read a challenge to Cameron.
Cameron, it was a little more than 10 very short years ago that your mom and I stood here at the front of this church and held you as a tiny baby. You were only 15 days old. We dedicated you on that day. We committed ourselves to doing our best to raise you in a Christian home and to guide you on a pathway to find Christ. This congregation on that day also committed themselves to helping us and helping you in your journey to find Christ. We are so grateful to this church family, to each of the Sunday school teachers, choir, and GA leaders you have had, and to each member of this church family who has helped guide and lead you to this point. We celebrate the decision you are making to accept Christ as your Savior. We know that you have given this a lot of careful thought, and we want you to know how very proud of you we are. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus was asked, "Which is the most important commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only these and you will find that you are obeying all the others." God has given you a very loving heart. We know that if you keep the love of God in your heart and the Word of God in your mind, you will make the right decisions in your life and stay on the path that God intends for you. We love you very much. We pray that you will continue to learn more about God's Word and will follow it as you find God's will for your life.
Cameron, because you have publicly professed Jesus Christ and you've sought to follow His example in baptism, it's a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your mom's here to hand down a candle to you, which is symbolic of the fact that you're to let your light shine before men. And I want you to keep that candle reminder. Okay. This is Peyton Hun. I want to invite all of you that have had a part in his Christian education, as well as his family, to join me in standing now while his father reads a challenge.
I'd like to read a passage for Peyton, who's decided to come forward today to make the most important decision, a blessed decision of his young life. We are very, very proud of you, and we love you. I'd like to read from Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him and seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Peyton, because you've publicly professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've sought to follow his example in baptism, it's a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your mom's here, and she's got a candle that she's going to give to you. And that's a reminder that you need to let your light shine before your friends, okay? Special for me, Peyton's my prayer partner. This is Reiner Heller. I know many of you have known him for many years. Many of you have been praying for him. And last Sunday morning, we saw Reiner come to the point in his life where he publicly professed Christ as his Savior. If you've been a part of praying for him and encouraging him through family or as well as Sunday school and other church contact, would you join in standing now while his wife comes to issue a challenge and charge to him?
Ryan, we're so proud of you and so pleased this day has come. The verses you've chosen as an example of a good man come from Daniel. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." And as words of assurance and God's example for us, the scripture you learned as a child, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Reiner, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've sought to follow his example, it is indeed a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Family's been an important part of your journey. We have family here to present to you candle. Let your light shine before me, everybody. There's nothing more exciting as a pastor than to be a part of this. And thank you for being here today. I want to challenge you in the days and the weeks to come to let your light shine before men so that others can come to know Christ.
Thank you.
Already during the celebration of baptism, we've heard beautiful verses of Scripture, very appropriate for this day. Let us continue in the ministry of God's Word as we share together through the reading of Scripture. First from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, the first five verses. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. From the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a familiar passage about spiritual gifts. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And finally, from John's Gospel, in the second chapter, first 11 verses. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have all had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. May God bless the reading and understanding of his word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, what a special occasion. Anytime we gather in your house to worship you. What a beautiful day at our church, Lord, for so many reasons. And among those reasons, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share in the celebration of baptism. What a special event. Lord, from the time that John the Baptist baptized Jesus, as part of Jesus' wonderful ministry that we still look to as an example for our lives, Lord, this has become such a special celebration and one that is so meaningful to each of us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to see and to join in as fellow church members and fellow believers to the experience that Cameron and Peyton and Reiner are experiencing. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to not only celebrate with them, to pray for them and support them in their lives and in their Christian journeys and in their journeys to walk on the paths that you have laid down for them. But Lord, what an opportunity for us to focus on renewal and commitment in our own lives. The new year has started. Rebirth is available to us every day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be reborn in you every day, anytime that we choose you and experience the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Lord, we will pray for these three and let us commit as a church family to pray for them, pray for their families. Lord, let us commit to renew and commit ourselves again now. What an opportunity, what a perfectly appropriate time, Lord, at the new year during the 90 days of focus to renew ourselves, renew our minds and our hearts and our souls and commit ourselves to your word, to serving you, to serving others, ministering to others, and helping them experience this same blessing. Lord, let us turn to you for that renewal. Let us commit ourselves so that we may be all that we can be in you. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our voices to you as we start on the stand on the threshold of a new year. And for those of us who will begin a new year in our deacon servitude, we pause to ask that you bless us on our journey. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we undertake to do for you. We earnestly covet and solicit the prayers of our fellow church members. Today we pray for the 90-day focus program that our pastor has laid out for us. We pray that each of us will be blessed as he leads us on this journey. For the abundant way that you have blessed us, we thank you, dear Father. As we return a portion of what is rightfully yours, we ask that you take it and use it to promote the growth of your kingdom here on earth. Bless the gift and the giver, for it is in your Son's name who taught us to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen.
Imagine being homeless, having no money in your pocket, having no roast in the freezer, having no cans of food in the pantry, having no way to earn money to provide for that most essential element of life, food. We all need food. Can you imagine living off the charity of other people? Not worrying about what you're going to eat tomorrow, just knowing that it's going to be there. Hoping that it will be there. That scenario describes 2 million people that were in our text for this morning. These people were traveling. They were in a desert and they were traveling to their new home. So the question comes up, what do you do in those situations? What do you do when you're in the middle of nowhere? There's no stores to buy food. You can't stop long enough to make a garden and grow your own food. And you've got 2 million hungry mouths to feed. What do you do? I wish I could say that the people in our story prayed to God and trusted Him. But instead, what we find from the passage in Exodus chapter 16 is that the people grumbled. They complained. They whined. But God in His goodness and His love provided for them for the next 40 years. We begin our 90 days of focus. And every week during our 90 days of focus, we'll be learning. We'll be taking a passage from Scripture from that week's readings. And so this week we come to Exodus chapter 16. It's a story that's very familiar. It's a story about the manna and the quail, how the people grumbled and complained, went to Moses, and God heard their grumbling and complaining. And every evening, quail came into the camp. And every morning, there was something lying on the ground that they couldn't quite identify. They knew they could bake it, excuse me, they could boil it, they could fry it, and it was edible. But the question was, what is it? What is that stuff? In Hebrew, literally, the question is, man who? And that's where the name manna comes from. So this morning we're going to learn what we can learn from the manna that was placed on the table of the children of Israel, as well as the manna that's placed on our table daily. What can we learn from that? Well, the question then, as well as the question now, is manna. What is it? What is it? I think the first thing that manna is obviously is the food on our table. I think we can sympathize. Put yourself in their position. They have left Egypt. They've taken their wealth with them that they can carry. But you can only carry so much. That was before the days of SUVs with car top carriers. You can only carry so much. And here it is 45 days later and they've run out of food. They're hungry. They have run out of food. Now you say, well, what happened to all that stuff they brought with them? Well, they did bring gold and silver. Have you ever tried to eat gold and silver? There's not a whole lot of grocery stores in the desert. What good is gold and silver when you can't buy food with it? And that's the situation that they were facing. There was no stores there. How would you like to be a mother and father? Look at your children. Imagine what it would be like to see them crying for food and feel yourself completely helpless. How do you feed your children? So you can sympathize a little bit with these families. You can sympathize with them, but yet we can't condone their behavior. In verse 2 of chapter 16, let's read about that. Verse 2, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out in the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Well, they made Egypt sound pretty cozy, didn't they? You know, well, let's recall the good times back in Egypt. I think maybe they forgot about the hard labor in the brickyards. I think maybe they forgot about the beatings. I think maybe they forgot about the countless number of children that were drowned in the Nile by Pharaoh's soldiers. But instead of praying to God, they grumbled. Now, friends, I'd like to say that we have absolutely no reason whatsoever to grumble. Grumbling, what is it? Think about our circumstances. By the world standards, every single one of us lives in huge homes. We buy and are able to buy and eat the best food that the world market produces. We have heating in the wintertime. We have air conditioning for days like this. We have enough food, probably, in our freezer or on our cabinets or tucked away in those places in our kitchen that we've forgotten about. We probably have enough food to eat for a month if we needed to. But unfortunately, prosperity isn't a cure for grumbling. Because grumbling is that thing that you do when you open your closet in the morning getting ready to go to school and a closet full of clothes and he goes, I just don't have a thing to wear, Mother. Where have I heard that? Grumbling is that thing you do when you sit down for a meal of macaroni and cheese, Kraft, Don, Kraft brand, macaroni and cheese. And you go, gosh, I wish we had pizza more often. Grumbling is that thing you do when you look at your bills and you complain about how much it costs to feed a teenage boy or to go to the doctor or to do those kind of things, pay the gas bill. Parents, put it this way. Imagine yourself. It's the end of the summer. School is getting ready to start, and you decide, I'm going to take my children, beautiful children, wonderful children, never complain, to Carowinds for a kind of end of the summer bash. Or better still, send them with Jeff. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't write letters. I was just kidding. Parents, you take your children to Carowinds. And you ride all those crazy rides, and you eat that greasy, expensive food, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, boy, we really couldn't afford this, but I want to give something special to the kids to see them back into school. And all the way home, all you hear is, but Dad, we didn't get to ride the Borg Assimilator. I mean, we could have stayed longer. The line was only a mile long. I mean, what's the point coming to Carowinds if you don't get to ride the Borg Assimilator? That's never really happened to me. I made all that up. It really hasn't. It really hasn't. But if you had to listen to that for 45 minutes, wouldn't it give you a headache? Among other things? But see, that's the way God has to listen to us. We grumble that what He's given us isn't enough, or it isn't good enough. And it offends His holiness because He gives so graciously, so freely. So how did God react to the grumbling of the children of Israel? In verse 4 it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.'" Now, God's answer to their grumbling was that He was going to provide for them that day and every day for 40 years. He was going to provide their needs, even when they grumbled, even when they didn't appreciate it. That is the kind of God that we serve. Luther said in his explanation of the first article, "All this He does only because He is my good and merciful Father in heaven, and not because I've earned it or deserve it." Well said. Every time we put food in our mouths, we should remember that God loves us for Jesus' sake and does not treat us as our sins deserve. Amen? Every time we button our shirt or tie our shoes, we should thank Him not only for our clothes, but for the fact that He overlooks our whining and grumbling and complaining. So why did God only give them what they needed for that day? I think the answer to that is the answer to the question, what is manna? Manna is not only the food on our table. Secondly, manna is a test from God, which leads to the question of why do teachers give tests? Students, that will be a relevant question here in a few days. All right, why do teachers give tests? Why do they? The simple answer is to find out if we've studied, to find out if they can assimilate what they've given to us and give it back to them in some form or fashion that they ask for. Look in verse 4 again. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions.'" See, was the Lord testing the children of Israel to find out what was on their heart, what they knew? No. He knew what they knew. He knew their heart, so there must be something else. You see, there's another reason why teachers give tests: to help the students learn. I recall when I was at Wake Forest, I had a professor named Dr. Gentry. And Marcellus, he was the best professor I had, not because I just didn't have you. I'm sure that you would be. I didn't have Marcellus for Dr. Waddell for math. I had Dr. Gentry for calculus 5 days a week, my first semester at 8 o'clock in the morning. Who did that to me? 8 o'clock, calculus. But Dr. Gentry was a wonderful professor. And the reason I think he was such a wonderful professor is on the exams, on the test he gave us, he said, "If you cannot find the solution, tell me everything that you have learned that might get you to the solution." And so if I couldn't find all the correct steps and put them together, I would write what I thought were steps. And then he would come back and grade them, and he would circle the right steps, put them in the right position, drawing arrows, fill in the formulas that I had missed, and give me the final solution. I learned more from the test on those answers, on the questions I got wrong, than I did the ones I got right. It was a learning experience. Testing is supposed to be a learning experience. And so, in His daily way, in God's way, God tested the children of Israel. Every day they went out. They picked up just enough for that day, except on Friday. Because what was Saturday? The Sabbath. And they weren't to work on the Sabbath, so He provided enough. If they gathered too much on any other day, it would just rot. But if they gathered it on Friday, it was good to see them through the Sabbath, so they didn't work on the Sabbath. Every day then was a test of their faithfulness. Every day they went to bed, no food in the house at all. They got up the next morning. There were no storehouses. There were no gardens. It was just God's storehouse. Manna in the morning and quail in the evening. So you say, Raymond, that's all fine and good. How does that relate to us? I think every day is a test. We have circumstances that we run up against. And sometimes our first reaction is to do what? Grumble. Complain. Every day can be a test. Whether it's things as trying as letting a child drive by themselves for the first time. Whether it's things as trying as losing a job with no new employment in sight. Whether it's things as trying as a diagnosis that is not the results that you wanted to hear. They're tests. How do we pass these tests? Why do we doubt? We really don't have a reason to doubt. If you think about it, God has proved himself faithful for 40 years in the wilderness. The bread truck came every morning. The meat delivery came every night. And in my life, if anything happens where I'm tempted to question God's faithfulness, I go back to Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? In other words, God gave his son to redeem us. Why would he not provide for us? He's given us everything we need. Every day is a test. Understand that God has not and he will not fail you in your testing. So manna is food on our tables. Manna is a test from God. Thirdly, manna is also a sign of God's grace. Look in verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? And Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning, because he's heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he's heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew upon the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given to you. Go back sometime and look and see how many times in that passage you see the name of the Lord in all capital letters. It was his Old Testament name. It's a name that rings of freedom and grace. It is a name that rings of a covenant God, one who makes a covenant with us. Covenant. He's making a covenant. He's saying, you're going to have food. I'm going to provide food for you. And it's free. It's a sign of grace. Faithful grace. And why is that? Why would manna be a sign of grace? I think for a couple of reasons at least. First of which is because they didn't deserve it. The people did not deserve it. The Lord said, I heard your grumbling, and this is what I'm going to do for you. So instead of punishing them, he provided for them. Instead of saying, I tell you what, you got a problem, work it out yourself. Let me know what you come up with. He said, No. I'm going to give you a daily reminder that I'm close to you, that I am watching over for you. I'm providing everything that you need. Then he actually went a step further and he showed his actual presence to them in a cloud of glory that hovered above them. God's grace. God's grace to us, like the manna in the wilderness, is free even when we don't deserve it. The second reason I think manna is a sign of God's grace is because it's faithful. Think of it. 40 years. 40 years they wandered. God did not miss a single morning providing the manna. God did not miss a single night. You know, there's no crop failures when it comes to the Lord. He didn't miss a single day. There were no missed days. Can you picture that? 2 million people. 2 million people. Every morning, scouring the desert floor, picking up food. 2 million people. What a sign of God's faithfulness and mercy and provision. Picking up breakfast. That night, having the quail wander in, just waiting to be killed and eaten. What an incredible picture. Have you ever thought how easy it should have been? How easy it should have been to believe under those circumstances. God providing every morning, God providing every night, and His presence hovering above you the whole time. It should have been easy. How could you not believe when God was so close to you? But you see, we have more than our daily bread to convince us that God is gracious and faithful to us. We have something else. We have Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 32, Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," the crowd said, "from now on, give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty." The bread on our table is a sign that God is good and merciful, even when we don't deserve it. But even if we should go physically hungry for a season, we still have Jesus, now and for eternity. And that's what we celebrate when we come to the Lord's table. When we come to the Lord's table, we celebrate the fact that God provided a way for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, the death, the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He said, as often as you eat of it, that He wants us to remember the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. So as we enter into a time of communion now, I want you to take just a couple of moments to search your heart and prepare your heart. Ask for forgiveness for those times when you've grumbled and complained. Ask for forgiveness on those times when you've doubted the Lord's provision and His mercy. Just to say a word about our communion, we have open communion. If you're a believer, we invite you to take part as we celebrate communion together. And then as He assembled with His disciples who were scared to death, didn't know what was coming, He gave them assurance. But He also said, "This is my body that was broken for you." It says, "Eat it. And when you do, remember me." Jesus spoke of a new covenant in His blood. So when we drink it, we're reminded of the fact that He, through His Son, provided eternal life. Not only the presence of God as we travel day by day, as we experience the test day by day, but also the promise of eternity around the throne. I'd like to invite you to join with me in a covenant with new believers. This is a chance for you to reaffirm the basis of your faith, the covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. Ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He
believe in God the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers for each other and these new believers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost? Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These things we covenant together before God. Amen. I invite you, as we stand and sing in just a moment, to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life today. Perhaps you've been led through what you've experienced to realize that you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. We want to give you an opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer and would like to join this fellowship, we accept members by many ways and be glad to talk with you about that. Perhaps you'd just like to recommit your life to Christ. Perhaps you'd like to come and pray here, that the Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that decision as we stand and sing together hymn number 68, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need. Remain standing with me. I want to ask Peyton and Cameron, if Reiner, if they would come forward at this time. Cameron. To celebrate today, we have a certificate of baptism as well as a new copy of God's Word. I challenge you to read it every day, okay? Peyton, for you, another Bible that has the celebration of today in there. And there is also a certificate of baptism. Take those. Wait right here. And Reiner, a certificate of baptism, as well as a new Bible that I hope you'll read every day faithfully. I want to invite you to come by and again extend a handshake, a hug, a greeting of celebration of these new believers who've made this important step. And again, a challenge to us to let our light shine before men so that others will come to know. Let's pray together. Dear Father, now as we go from this place, help us to understand that you love us, that you've provided for us everything that we need. Father, help us to be faithful to the test of the day and to give all praise and glory to you. For it's in your precious Son's name we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.